Now we're going to read again from what God has written and told us in His Word. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Since it's God who speaks, God cannot lie. And everything that God says is important, even the small little words. So notice with me the little word so in these readings, S-O. Now if you don't have your Bible with you or can't find the place, don't worry. We'll try and read as accurately as we can from the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You got it? So great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. All right, that's the first one. Now, over to John's Gospel, or back to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And a well-known verse, probably all the boys and girls that go to Sunday school know this verse, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, we have that little word, so. He so loved the world. Back to Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 52. The book of Isaiah, please, chapter 52. And again, we'll read a verse all about the Lord Jesus Christ. God is speaking in verse 13, Isaiah 52, verse 13. God says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so marred. Back to the Psalms, Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, let's read from verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, and so on. The Lord will bless to us the readings from his word with what we've been privileged to hear already tonight in the gospel. So, have you got the four little words all together in your mind? We read from Hebrews 2 about salvation that is so great. Salvation that is so great, and we've been hearing about that already in the first part of the meeting. Then from John chapter 3, verse 16, we've read about sinners that are so loved. God so loved the world. Sinners so loved. Isaiah 52 brings before us the Savior who was so marred. A Savior so marred, more than any man, and is far more than the sons of men. And then we read from Psalm 103 about sins that are so far removed as the east is from the west. And I believe in these four little verses we have the essence of the gospel. We have salvation so great, sinners so loved, a Savior so marred, and sins so far removed from us. We had hoped that you'd come into the good of that tonight, if you haven't already in this meeting, before the meeting is over. Now, we've read about salvation that is so great. What is salvation anyway? Well, the word, the English word salvation just means to be rescued. And in the Bible, it means to be rescued from something real bad. Like eternal ruin in hell. And salvation means that the soul is brought into something real good. Sins forgiven, peace with God, a home in heaven, security and peace, and a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I tell you, salvation is real good. So good and so great salvation. The problem is our sin, because sin has brought such havoc and catastrophe into the human race. Such bitterness, such hatred, like you saw down there in Las Vegas. The hatred of the human heart. That's because of sin. People ask, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Just one little word answers that question. S-I-N. Sin. That's the reason why. Sin in the human heart. And such heartbreak, such pain, such brokenness has come into the human family, and it's all because of sin. Such terror, such separation from God, and separated from God forever. Because sin will close the door of heaven in the face of all the sons and daughters of Adam who dare to meet God in their sins. Sin is the problem. And so this great salvation will deliver sinners. It rescues them from the problem of sin, from the power of sin in the life. Because sin has a power, doesn't it? Sin will bring you into bondage. Sin will bring you into compulsive addictions and into the slavery of destructive behavior and habits that you can't break. Sin will do that. The pleasures of sin, yes, there are pleasures in sin, but they're actually part of the enslaving process. Sin imprints itself indelibly upon the soul, so that the sinner is helpless to help himself from the problem of sin. The drug addict, he hates his habit, but he loves it at the same time, and he can't break it. Years ago, our brother Peter Orsak, from the same island as our brother has just spoken, our brother David, he was into drugs, couldn't break the habit till God saved him. What a changed life. That's what so great salvation will do. It will break those bonds that hold a sinner. And it will deliver him not only from the power of sin, but from the penalty of sin. What's the penalty of sin? A soul going out to meet God, leaving time for eternity, to meet a holy God, and having rebelled against him his whole life through. The Bible teaches us the penalty of sin is death. It is hell. It is ultimately the lake of fire, eternal separation from God in eternal torment. Penalty of sin. But so great salvation comes in and rescues the soul from that fate, from that destiny, from that condemnation. And thank God for every believer here. There's coming a moment when God's great salvation will rescue us from the very presence of sin. We were thinking about that today when the Lord comes. Could happen tonight. He'll come to the air with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we'll rise from earth. Like filings to a magnet, we lift off from planet earth into the heavenly sphere, where we shall be forever with the Lord, and we'll never sin again. Holy and spotless and pure forever, enjoying the presence of the Lord. So great salvation delivers us from even the presence of sin. Now, we've been hearing already that religion can't help in this problem. There's something about the human heart wants to help itself. People turn to religion. They go to church, join a church, give to charity, do this, do that. And they sit there and maybe they know the Bible better than their friend. You see? And they think that somehow they're in better with God than the next one. But there's a verse in our Bible that was spoken to very religious men, the most religious men on planet Earth at the time. And Peter said to them in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that will not do. Mere religion will not do. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus. There's no other name under heaven or given among men whereby we must be saved. We must have this so great salvation. Do you have it tonight? Are you trusting in Christ and Christ alone to deliver you from your sin and to bring you safely home to heaven? It's so great a salvation. We've read about sinners that are so loved. God has provided so great salvation for sinners. Sinners like you. Sinners like me. Thank God. Sinners that have just rebelled against God and certainly don't deserve His salvation. So why did He do it? What is the motivation in God's heart to provide so great salvation for people that don't deserve it? Why did He do it? The verse tells us. It gives us the answer. Listen to it. For God so loved the world. He did something about it. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. The only one that He so loved for all eternity. He gave Him to come into this world, to die upon a cross, to take our place under the judgment of God for sin that He never committed. But Christ died for our sins, you see. This is the plan of salvation. Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. So that whosoever, and I think I find myself in that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that simple verse is telling us this, that though I don't deserve God's salvation, yet God looked upon me in all my need and in all my sin. And He so loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, that He provided salvation at such infinite cost to Him. He gave His own dear Son to die upon a cross, so that the gospel could be preached on simple terms, that if you trust Him as your Savior, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the love of God is so great. You know, this world talks about love. There's an awful lot of love songs that are written and soap operas and romantic stories and movies and what have you. This world has what they call love. But really, when it's all analyzed, it's nothing but lust. Fall into it today, fall out of it tomorrow, maybe even on the same day. When Britney Spears was 22, a number of years ago, she got married to her childhood friend, a man by the name of Jason Alexander, in the little white chapel there in Las Vegas. She wore a baseball cap and blue jeans. No white dress or nothing. Just went along, casually got married. And it lasted for a long time. If you count 55 hours, a long time. Until the whole business was annulled. So meaningless. So unreal. You know, that's not real love. But God's love is meaningful. And God's love is real. He so loved the unlovable. And how unlovable we are. that he sent his own lovely son, his only begotten son, the eternal one whom he loved, forever he loved him, into this world to die for every sinner, then to rise again from the dead, so that the world through him might be saved. Now, there's the love of God on display. God did something about our wretched condition. And God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us. That's the greatest love story that's ever been told. It brings the believing sinner into the very presence of God in the enjoyment of so great salvation. He's eternally united with Christ. And he has everlasting life. And when this little life is over here on planet Earth, eternally, to enjoy heaven and home forever. God says to you tonight, my friend, listen to it. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and he has done something about it. He gave his own dear son to die for poor sinners upon a cross. If you trust him as your Savior, you'll be saved and ready for heaven tonight. Now, the Savior was so marred. Hollywood's brand of love is so flippant, casual, even rebellious. But there was nothing like that that mars the love of God. There was nothing flippant about Jesus being put to death at Calvary. There was nothing casual about his lovely hands being nailed to that cross. There was nothing fun about his back being scourged. There was nothing, my friend, that was light and frivolous about the Savior bearing our sins in his own body upon the tree. And his visage was so marred, more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men. This is what it cost to put away our sins. Those that stood by and looked upon that sight, they were dumbfounded. They were amazed. They'd never seen anything like this. God covered that whole scene in darkness. Sometimes we sing, well, might that sun in darkness hide and shut her glories in when the incarnate maker died for man, his creature's sin. And then he enters into death. And on the third day, he arose again from among the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Death couldn't hold him. He had satisfied the claims of death in account of sin. The wages of sin is death, and Christ paid it in full. The proof is, up from the dead he came. Up from the grave he arose. The evidence that the work is finished. So my friend tonight in the meeting, don't treat this casually anymore. Don't be flippant in your attitude about the need of your soul. You need Christ. You need him tonight. You need him real bad. You need him as your Savior. Don't pass him by another time. Trust him tonight for salvation. What would be the result? That brings us to our last a little verse from Psalm 103. Because the tremendous effect of the Savior's work is this. It has put sin away. And our verse tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, in 2017, man's technology can do a lot of things. Can remove plaque from arteries, sometimes. Tumors from certain parts of the body. Toxins from the bloodstream. Medical science has made tremendous advances. But there's one thing that man cannot do, and that is remove even one sin from the soul of a sinner. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, and it takes every one of them away. Jessica Winger came to some meetings we had, Brother Roy Weber and I, back in Wisconsin, a place called Broadhead. And one morning she lifted the telephone and called her grandfather, Robert Orr, preacher in Iowa, told him that she'd gotten saved. So Brother Orr, he posed her a little question. He said, "But Jessica, what about your sins?" Here's her answer. She said, "My sins? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us." She was rejoicing in God's so great salvation. What about you, my friend, tonight in this meeting? Eternity itself will never reach a point where God will have to say, "Ah, dear believer, I'm sorry to tell you, there was one sin that the work of Christ didn't put away. Never. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you wonder, "But could it cleanse me from all my sin? Is there enough in the work of Christ to save me?" I was sitting there thinking of a suitable illustration. I don't know, but supposing you were thirsty and you had a glass, but there was no water in it. And you went down to the Pacific Ocean there and you found out that the Pacific Ocean was crystal clear, pure water, the whole lot of it. And you had a glass. You're thirsty. And you could take one glass and maybe two, maybe even three or four or five or six or seven or eight until you couldn't drink any more water. And you're thoroughly satisfied and your thirst is gone. Tell me, how many more people could come to the Pacific Ocean and drink their fill? Faint illustration, the work of Christ is infinite. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And in your need, you just come to him. And he'll do all the saving as you trust him alone as your Savior. May God help you.